Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet once again where we talk about the real issues, not the fake issues, the real issues, not the avoidant issues, the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering both hope and help for men. In the studio with me today to help to deal with the challenges of one of the topics that we're going to have today. Notice how I say one of the topics? Because it always ends up being a rabbit trail. It ends up being a couple other topics also. Is the man in brown. He's dressed, ready for the day, ready to go out there and do his UPS. Eric's in the house. Good to see you.
Steve, man, open the door.
All right. How are you?
I'm all right.
All right.
Better than I deserve.
Oh, really? That's a nice way to look at things.
Well, you know, it puts things into perspective.
Okay. Well, that's true. Hope it stays that way all the way through the day for you.
Well, thanks.
You know?
You hope that I'm better than I deserve for the whole day.
So anyway, so we have a topic today. We're going to be talking about betrayal, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, I hope you have everything you want to talk about because I've never been betrayed. I've never betrayed anybody. So I'm just going to listen in today.
Yeah, I'll just carry the whole show. Oh, goodness gracious. It'd be a 5-minute long show.
There you go. Well, before we get into all of that and start stirring even more things up, how about a little encouragement? Do you have anything in particular that you wanted to share with the men that are listening?
Sure. So have you ever heard the somebody say, oh, man, I wish I had a testimony like that guy, you know, where we're like envious of somebody's story of how they came to Jesus. And there's usually something, you know, fantastic about the story.
I didn't hear anybody say that. I felt that way.
Okay.
I've said that.
Yeah. And it usually involves some sort of, you know, level of crime or getting shot or, you know, so that you have like a fantastical story and
fantastical.
I don't know if it's a word, but it is now. And don't distract me, Raul.
Okay. Yes. Fantastical.
Fantastical story. And we think that that's what we need in order for people to be affected for the gospel. But when we really take a step back and we look at, who we are,
yes,
where we've been, what Jesus has taken us through, and how he has saved us, and for, you know, really for the majority of people, our story is unfantastical.
You know,
it's just fairly normal. We go about our day. We've been going about our life. I was in my own estimation, I was a fairly good person. You know, I tried to be nice to people. I even gave money to some charities, and you know, I did these good things. You know, but through all of that, there was just something lacking in my life. And when I came to realize that what it was that I needed a savior because I wasn't as good as I thought I was. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the type of story that probably is going to affect the majority of people because it's where the majority of people are. Mm-hmm. So I just don't want guys to be discouraged by thinking that they need some sort of super testimony in order to be effective for the kingdom of God, because God uses everybody right where they are.
Yes.
You know, and you know, it's him who does the work.
Yes.
You know, it's not Eric who saves somebody. It's Jesus who saves somebody. Mm-hmm. And he may use people like Eric and Raul, you know, despite ourselves. Mm-hmm. I often say that he condescends to use us. And
well, you have a whole new dictionary going on today.
So that's my encouragement for guys. If you feel like your testimony is not powerful, that's just a lie, and it's just the enemy just wants to shut you up and doesn't want the good news of the gospel and what Jesus has done for you to be spoken of.
And one of the things that has always spoke to me as a result of thinking the way that you're sharing right now about how many of us would believe or feel is my ego gets in the way. My pride gets in the way. I want to be significant. I want to be highlighted. I want people to recognize me. I want to be able, whatever it may be. And believe it or not, that's an insecurity. That's a weakness.
That's true.
Okay. So in being able to share that sort of thing with other people, it's a great way to be able to even kick off your testimony. Hey, I was thinking, I was struggling with the Lord today that I wanted to, I had this story that was similar to mine, but I just kind of embellished it. Is that the right word?
Embellished, that's another good word. Man, okay. we're just piling up the good words today.
Being able to make it really sound really just like, oh, that's really good. You don't have to add anything to your story, brother.
Absolutely.
You don't have to add anything. Just speak the truth. That's what the Lord wants you to give, because there's someone out there that needs to hear it exactly the way it happened to you. That's the only way, because when you think you can control who's going to receive what you say, you're in the wrong arena. You're in the wrong arena. The Lord wants to use you and your experiences and who you are exactly as you are so that others, that other individual can see it that way, because that's the only way they'll be able to receive it. If it comes any other way, it's not going to be received. So you want it to be received, say it. Honestly, exactly the way that it happened, that's it.
That's right. And the glory is not in our past sin. The glory is in Jesus Christ and the fact that he would save any of us.
Yes, that's the one that's all about. There's no doubt. Hey, if he can save a guy like this, and I'm not pointing at Eric, I'm talking about me, and like Eric too.
Yeah.
You know what? I tell you what, he can take care of you too, brother, and a lot of others who are in your life. So anyway, let's segue right into this thing of betrayal. I don't know how we're going to segue into this thing, but, you know, so often.
I think you just did.
It's going to be one of those Fridays. I can see it already.
Woo! All right. We're in rare form today. Watch out.
So, Holy Spirit, help us. Someone has never been betrayed before, what does that look like?
I don't think that I really have to explain what it looks like.
Let's pretend that you do. Okay.
Well, here's the deal. This is actually a difficult show for me, because of the fact that I'm far better at betraying than being betrayed.
Oh, you know, dealing with betrayal.
Yeah, because we're talking about overcoming the pain of betrayal, and when I look back on my life, I see a whole lot more of Eric betraying than Eric being betrayed. So, honestly, as I'm speaking on this show, you know, a lot of what I'm going to be saying is really a lot of what I've seen in my own wife, because, you know, I'm guilty
of
having...
Did you say wife or life?
Wife.
Okay, yes.
Yes.
Your significant other.
My spouse.
Your helpmate.
My helpmate.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, because I am guilty of having betrayed her.
Yes.
And she has had to overcome the pain of that betrayal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I've been able to watch that process.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it is a process. It's, you know, it didn't just happen overnight. It took time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, so for me, I'll tell the guys what the betrayal was, is I was addicted to internet pornography. And I kept it a secret from my wife, you know. And so when she found out about that, it was an extreme betrayal. I mean, it to the heart, it feels like adultery, because Jesus says that if we look on a woman with lustful intentions, we've committed adultery in our hearts already.
Mm-hmm.
And so it hurts just the same, you know. And I did this to my wife. I betrayed her. I hurt her.
Mm-hmm.
And so, there was a long process that started after that of, you know, of rebuilding and healing from that pain. Because, you know, there are so many things that happened to her.
Right.
You know.
So I've got to ask, in the process, I mean, you had to get to a point of realizing that there was a betrayal. I mean, you went on and on and on, probably for a period of time, only you know how long that was, before you realized or became aware of that, wow, I betrayed my wife. I'm hurting her, and she's not even aware of it yet. Mm-hmm. She's not even aware of the pain that this is going to cause her until she finds out, right?
Yeah, and I always thought that while I was caught in the cycle of addiction, that at some point I would be able to get myself out. At some point I would figure it out. And then I'd be able to just, you know, stop what I was doing.
Give her all the good news first of saying, hey, I'm all done with that. I had this problem and, you know, weren't even aware of it. So it's all good. You know, and then you try to go on.
And so like in my mind, I'm playing out the scenario where everything just works out, you know, like you're playing a game of Candyland or something.
Exactly. Let's just go on with life now and not even think about that sort of thing. Then all of a sudden she would say, hey, wait, time out. Wait a minute here. How long has this been going on?
Right.
And then it goes from there.
And that's part of what, you know, happens to the person who has been betrayed.
Right.
You know, because all of us, to some measure, have been betrayed or betrayed somebody else. Mm-hmm. It's just part of the human nature. Mm-hmm. And I'll speak for what I put my wife through. One of the things is she felt really dumb. She felt because I kept this a secret from her for 10 years. And she was like, you know, how naive am I? So here I am. It was, you know, an attack on her intelligence even, you know, and then we go beyond that and I'm looking at other women, right? Mm-hmm. So obviously she's not good enough. Mm-hmm. So now it's an attack on her beauty, on her attractiveness to me, mm-hmm. you know, so there's that level of betrayal, you know, and there's so many different ways that betrayal really affects that person. It's not just the action that needs to get over. There's the consequences to the actions and all of the other feelings that it stirs up.
And the trust that has actually been broken as a result of it, because mm-hmm. there's, you could look at it in the sense that that person that you're betraying, that you've actually, you know, put they're naive to what is going on. They're not aware of it. They're naive to it. So they, because of their trust, they said, hey, this would not ever happen. Don't even think about it. You know, there might even have been a time where maybe your wife or whomever it was that you betrayed in this, and I'll use this situation she brought up, that maybe it was brought up between her and other girlfriends, right, that said, my husband doesn't do that sort of thing. He's never done that, and I trust him totally. Then all of a sudden, then boom. Flash the news, right? The newspaper out there with the big letters. He's guilty, you know?
Yep. He's guilty. I'm stupid. I'm ugly.
Yes.
I'm broken. I'm betrayed.
And it messes up relationships, their own personal relationships in their lives with other people, other women in a sense, okay? Because mm-hmm. they're ashamed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It created shame. Not only the shame that you feel as a result of what has taken place, but she feels it also. So we're talking about an H-bomb that comes in and it devastates everything. It really does, you know?
Yeah, and that's, you know, so what we're talking about right here is one of the more extreme examples of betrayal. Mm-hmm. There are also examples of betrayal that, you know, are smaller, mm-hmm. you know, that we would consider smaller. Right. It could be the promise to get together on Saturday night to take, you know, to do this fun thing that you have planned and you show up and the other person doesn't.
Yes.
Well, you know, that's a small level of betrayal. And those mm-hmm. sort of things, mm-hmm. you know, they hurt too. And they also build up over time.
Yes.
You know, and you might think, okay, well, you know, this person has done this to me, you know, twice now. I think I can still trust them, you know, but then it happens the third time and it's like, you know, boom, I don't want to have anything more to do with this person because he or she just continues to, you know, to betray me like that.
So what you're really saying is that there are different levels of betrayal in a sense. There's some like you just given that are not huge things. There are little things compared to some large things, right? But it's still a betrayal. It's still like thinking that, oh, my sin, it was only a little sin. It wasn't very big sin.
You know?
Only a little sin. But sin is sin. It's like being pregnant, a little bit pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not. You know, it's not. Sin is sin.
Right. And the wages of sin is death. It's not, you know, the wage of a little sin is death. The wage of a big sin is death. You know,
would that be a little death?
Well, you know, that being said, I believe that there are grades of punishment in hell, just as there are different levels of rewards in heaven. So not to go down a theological rabbit trail.
We don't want to go down a theological rabbit trail. Not this morning, because I told you to stay on this topic.
Okay, this topic.
Okay.
But I just want to point out that one of the things that happens in any level of betrayal is that it's really, really easy for bitterness to grab hold.
Mm. Mm.
And that bitterness is a relationship destroyer. Mm. I'm not saying that the betrayal itself isn't a relationship destroyer. It is. But then this bitterness rises up within us, and it takes root, and it's destructive to the person who has been betrayed as well.
That's where the Bible talks about bitter root. Let no bitter root stay within you. And that's resentment is what that is. That's resentment. That's something that continues to grow and grow and grow. It festers. It locks itself in, and it just sucks the life out of you in so many different ways. And it stays. It's like inside, and it continues to just feed off of a lot of things, right? It continues to get bigger and bigger and bigger. It's like a, what am I thinking? When something's in your body, it's not supposed to be there. It's a growth.
A cancer, a tumor.
Yeah, a tumor of some sort, right? And that's what that is like, you know? And it it affects your life. And this bitter root, this bitterness of not being able to deal with the betrayal or that has taken place allows this to go on and on and on. And this is the other person who actually had been betrayed. They're the ones, you know, that are sitting there feeling this. You ever try, if you ever been in that position where you get caught doing something, and the person who was hurt, who catches you, that you actually try to turn the tables around, it's because of them. That's why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
You ever do that? I mean, that is
That's a real common response, because we just want to take all that blame and guilt off of ourselves and displace it onto somebody else. And then that way I don't have to bear it.
Yes,
exactly. And I'm going to manipulate the situation.
Yes.
And you know what? Everything that I'm doing, Raul, it's actually your fault.
Yes, exactly. And they're looking at you like, serious? Yes, it's my fault.
And then if you're a good manipulator, they look at you and they're like, oh, I didn't know I was doing that to you. Yeah. I'm so sorry that I'm making you sin.
And inside you're going, I've won this battle here, and I'll give that to them, and I don't have to deal with it. And but you know what? These are awarenesses that that finally come to surface once again. We may have them for that moment in time, and then we stuff them back down, not having to deal with it. And that individual that we're with, if we don't live with them, or if we worked with them or have dealt with them, we don't see them all the time, we don't deal with it. We set it aside. Okay.
Well, why should we deal with it?
I don't want to have to. I don't.
That would be painful.
Yes.
I don't want to do that.
So I'm just going to put this little box with all of this stuff in here, and I'm going to put it right over here in this corner on top of these boxes. Okay.
How many boxes you got in your house?
And that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, continue talking about this thing, about betrayal, how it ends up not only affecting those that we've betrayed, but how it affects us as an individual. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
You know what I love to smell? I love to smell a ham baking in the oven, or bacon sizzling in that skillet. Ooh, or maybe some German sausage roasting on the grill. You know what I don't love? I don't love to read the weird ingredients listed on the back of most of those packages of meat. Who needs that junk? That stuff is about as useful as a back pocket on your t-shirt. When it comes to your family's health, it's time for you to fish or cut bait. You need to start buying your hams, bacon, and sausage from a quality supplier like Hempler's Meats. Hempler's uses the finest of ingredients, like old-fashioned natural casings and all-natural spices. Plus, Hempler's products contain no fillers. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, Eric and Raul, and we're talking about how Eric has betrayed me this morning already and a couple of times. And
I don't remember that conversation.
All right, this thing on betrayal, we talked about, I used a little analogy of putting this situation that where I betrayed somebody, and I feel like I won them over and convinced them that it's because of how they are. That's why I acted or did what I did, and it's because of them. And I don't see these people around, so I don't have to deal with it. They're not on a regular basis, so I'm just going to take that whole situation and put it over here on with other boxes that I have, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what are those other boxes? Well, those are a lot of things that I didn't want to have to deal with either. Probably sins, could be more betrayal, could be a lot of other things that I just don't want to have to deal with. But I'm putting it back behind so I don't have to deal with it. I want to go about life and try to get my slice of the pie and be happy. And so I'm going to, everyone's got their boxes, right?
Right. And, you know, sometimes we take these boxes and I give this to somebody else and say, you hold this box, right? This isn't my problem. This is your problem.
Right.
You take the box.
That's usually what happens the next time you see that person. You say, oh, hey, by the way, you know, we talked. And when they bring it up, you say, no, wait a minute here. We talked about it. This is what you said. And you're very good at recollecting everything that was said. You might even throw a word in there to emphasize what they said and that they don't remember saying, but you made it sound like it is what they said.
Well, that's the secret of being a good manipulator and
exactly.
Liar is to have these nice specifics to go along with
exactly.
Your argument.
Exactly. It's usually in that manipulation.
I'm teaching people how to manipulate. This is a bad show.
Hey, I don't think I have to teach any of these guys anything. They already know it.
That's
you know,
true.
That's why they're listening to the show. They're saying, hey, man, let's move on from there. Well, here's what needs to take place. There has to be an awareness of how we are actually living. This isn't something, if we're followers of Jesus Christ, thought we didn't have to deal with this stuff because I accepted Jesus and I don't have to deal with it. And it's now I'm a new person. You know what? Let me just remind you, you have to ask for forgiveness of the sins that you have committed.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to spiritually and in some cases physically repent to turn away from that. But in a heartfelt manner. The Lord knows. If you don't do that, you're carrying around this stuff, brother. I'm telling you what, you're going to end up going back to doing the same things you used to do. Because the enemy will claim victory over you, okay, in this area. So you have to become not only aware, you are aware of it, you have to take the action. You have to take the risk. You have to be willing to make the amends and do what is necessary. And if you try to do this by yourself, you're going to fail. I'll tell you that right off the bat. You do this by yourself, you're going to fail. You need other men, or at least one other man that you can trust, okay, that you know knows the Lord and mm-hmm. has some experiences in this arena, and seek his assistance and his support and his prayer. And with that, now you can move forward to taking care of that business. Because when that happens, now the healing begins for both you and the recipient of what had taken place.
Right. And the person who is suffering from the betrayal, I think that that's also good advice, to seek out that other person, you know, a mature person in the faith in order to, you know, to walk through this together, because that's not something that that we need to do on our own either.
Yes.
You know, we're social, we're created to be social. We're meant to live in community, and we're meant, you know, to love one another just as Christ has loved us. You know,
it's the whole thing about being a follower of Jesus Christ means you're a follower. You're not the only one following. There are other followers. So you are following with others, okay? In James, he says that you come together, you reveal your sins with each other, you confess your sins to each other, and you pray together so that you may be healed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's a reason why that's there. It's because you cannot do this thing by yourself. I know. I've been there, done that. It's just me and the Lord and my Bible. That's all I need. I don't need anybody else to tell me what to do. The Lord will tell me through his word. You're going to be deceived, brother, because there's a foe in your life. There's an enemy in your life that's going to do some things that you didn't think would ever take place.
Right. But you're not going to be deceived by God's word. It's God's words that's going to tell you that you need to be in fellowship.
Exactly.
You know,
well, what's
Hebrews.
Going to likelihood is what's going to end up happening is that you're not going to get into the word, period. Because the enemy's going to keep you from there. He's going to lie to you. Say, you don't need to do that. You do that later. And then before you know it, months and an extended period of time has gone by and you haven't done anything. And you tell everybody, I'm in the word. It's me and God. Hey, back off. That's what you try, you know, but you try to do it in a manner so that you act very cool, like you got it all together, right? That's
right.
Manipulation 321.
Well, and often, you know, for the one who has been betrayed, you know, this person has experienced some hurt, and we start to think, mm-hmm. Well, God, aren't you supposed to keep me from being hurt?
Yeah.
You know, God, you're not doing your end of the deal here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said that I was going to follow you, and you're not. You know, you're not keeping up your end of the bargain, and I'm hurting right now,
mm-hmm.
and this is your fault, God, and I'm mad at you, and I'm not going to come to you, I'm not going to pray to you, I'm not going to read your word. I mean, this is what can happen when you have been betrayed.
And I snicker here because I've done that. We've all done that to a certain extent, some of us more than others, or more often, you know, but the fact is that we do anything possible to not have to take responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be responsible for that. The devil made me do it. God made me do it. It's the way that you act, the way that you look at me. It's the way that you talk to me. That's why I act the way that I act. Enough of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. We want to deflect everything off of ourselves because, you know, it makes our life seem to be easier and seem to be better. You know, because, you know, then I don't have to carry around all that weight. It's always somebody else's fault.
Right.
But when I look honestly at Eric, mm-hmm. you know, when I look honestly at me, I can see that, you know, I'm a messed up, broken guy, mm-hmm. and I need a whole lot of help. I need help from my Lord, and I need help from other men in order to walk out this life that he has given me.
Right.
You know, because I can't do this on my own.
Yes.
You know?
Well, see, here's the beautiful thing about what we're talking about. And Eric uses the analogy of himself of saying, I'm busted up and so on and so. We get to this place. Let me tell you something. Do you have to do that on a regular basis after you've asked for forgiveness and you've been aware of all the things that you've been mindful of in your life and asked for forgiveness for? The Lord says when you give, when you ask for forgiveness and you repent and turn away from it, your sins are no longer a part of you. I throw them behind me. You're washed white as snow. There is no more stain on you.
There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
And as a result of that, you get to move and freely with no chains bound to you. Okay? Think about it, brother. In our sin, in our unforgiveness, we are bound to stay where we're at because we can't go any further because the chain is holding us down.
Right. Okay? The Bible says that we were a slave to sin.
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, a slave to sin is a slave.
That's it.
You don't get to unslave yourself.
And so as a result of getting to that place of admission, becoming aware of it, you are aware of it, but now you say, I don't have the courage. I don't have this. I don't have what it takes to go any further. You're right. You don't. That's why you submit yourself to God. You surrender to him. And in seeking him, he will give you his strength that will come through you to walk you through whatever it is that you have to go through. He's going to give you everything that you need. It's not from you. If it's your power, you don't need God. But you don't have that kind of power. I didn't have that kind of power. I thought I did. I tried to pretend I did. And all I did was fail every time until I got to that place of truly surrendering. And you know what's really crazy? That part of the Bible where Paul talks about the thorn in his side, okay, and he asked the Lord to remove it three times, right?
Yeah.
And then the statement that we can all hear it. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for
you. Yeah, it's a great verse to live by.
Oh, my goodness. So Paul goes on to say, all the more reason. And then he goes on. He says, it's through your weaknesses that my power will be perfected. Okay? Mm-hmm. And then Paul goes on to say that all the more reason that I will boast for my weaknesses. Praise God. That's where the transparency comes in. That's where the honesty comes in. That's where you all of a sudden are revealing yourself, becoming vulnerable, not only to the Lord, but to other people. But you know in your heart, because the Bible says that God will protect me. He is there with me. I don't have to fear what man can do to me. Okay?
That's right. Because, you know, the end of the story is written. You know, for the man who is in Christ, this is so glorious. Because, you know, we live on this earth for a short time. And Paul says that our troubles are light and momentary for that very reason. Yep. It doesn't feel light and momentary.
It hurts. Yes.
Okay? It doesn't feel light. But in light of eternity, it is light.
Yeah.
And we will make it through this life that he has given us. And in the end, we will live forever with our God in a perfected world, in perfected bodies.
And be able to help others to find him also as a result of our experiences.
And that's what we want to be doing here on this earth.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he didn't save us in order for us to, get in ourselves and
so it's all about me. I'm saved now, and I'm going to be in heaven, and I wonder how many treasures I'm going to have up there and everything. You know,
It's about reaching others for the gospel.
It's about Jesus, and it's about others. Nowhere there, anywhere in the Bible, to say it's about me.
Right. What's the greatest commandment?
Love. Seek the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
And the other is like it.
Yeah.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
There you go. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Need more in-depth biblical counsel on a specific subject? Check out our latest of recommended books on the Band of Brothers page at faithplace.org.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com.
Don't have time or energy to keep up with your yard work?
That's for sure. And that's why we choose Kane's Lawn and Garden, and we have for years. If you live in Whatcom County, Kane's Lawn and Garden can help you with the mowing, the edging, the shrub care and pruning, property weed control, general property cleanup, whatever you need. Give them a call to get a quote. 360-312-9524 or visit their website, CanesLawnAndGarden.com. CanesLawnAndGarden.com.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. I've got Eric looking with a smug look at me right now. Yeah, now we're starting to see the ivories.
Smug is because, you know, I came up with a question during the break that it's a difficult question.
Yeah.
And the question is, okay, so I've been betrayed by somebody.
Let's make it more real. Is it somebody that is close to you, or you want to give the analogy of just a coworker or
Let's say somebody close to me. Let's say my wife has betrayed me.
Okay.
And I've confronted her on it, but she's not repentant of it. Now, this is completely hypothetical. This is not actually happening in my marriage, just so that people know I don't want to not disparaging my wife.
Yeah, you're using
this is just an analogy.
Example. Yes.
Okay. But she's not repentant of that.
Okay.
Okay. So here I am, you know, I've been betrayed. I've called her to the table on it. Mm. She doesn't care. And I know that she's just going to go ahead and do it again because she doesn't care. She hasn't changed her mind about it and repented of it.
Right.
You know, so how am I supposed to deal with that?
Well, are we not called to forgive as Christ forgives us?
But am I supposed to forgive her even though I know that it's likely that she's going to do it
again?
That's
not our call. That's not our call. We are called to forgive. 7 times 70, the Bible says, or 70 times 700. The point being, the reason that it's 7 times 70 or whatever he says there, 449 times or 490 times, is because it's you just keep doing it no matter how many times. Okay? Now, in this case here, it's a spouse. It's someone that you live with, someone that you're going to interact with on a daily basis. Do you bring it up? Do you talk about it all the time? Yeah, you don't avoid it. Okay? See, the forgiveness part is that I forgive you. I know that now, if we only look at our own lives, I think in forgiveness is that first and foremost, I have to realize and remember that Christ forgives me.
Amen.
For the person that I am. And I was a terrible person. I mean, I'm not even going to get into all of that. But when and we know our own lives. We know what, and when I know that Christ has forgiven me, and how do I know that? Because my life is different today. And the promises that he says through his word have come to fruition in my life, okay? Yeah. And so I know that he has forgiven me because he's given me a new life and a new way of thinking, and I'm able to do the things that he wants me to be doing.
Yeah, therefore, okay? If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away.
Amen.
New things have come.
Amen.
Amen.
And so what ends up taking place as a result of that, now I know that when I look at my wife who has betrayed me, and she's maybe continue doing that sort of thing, that I ask, because see, I've got to remember, it's not about me coming up with all these ideas. I've got someone in my life, a Lord, who's there willing to help me. I've got the Father who says, just come to me. Mm-hmm. You don't receive because you don't ask. And if you ask, you ask with wrong motive. So if you're coming, you want help with your relationship with your wife and how to be able to take care of this, come to me and ask. I may put somebody in your life. I may put a good friend in your life that he's going to speak into your life, or you're going to pray with them, and you're going to trust in them, and they will end up helping you because it's me helping you through them, okay? It's through my word that I will help you. You will come to know what I am and who I am because you come to know me when you seek me with everything that you have. So with this in mind, when I'm thinking of that, it makes a lot easier to be able to look at my wife, the person who's betraying me or whoever that might be, and look at them with a different set of glasses, so to speak. See, I'm to look at everyone as Christ looks at them.
Right.
Okay. And if I can do that, it may be difficult, may be challenging. It's not easy by any means. But when I can do that, I end up having more compassion. I have more patience. I have more understanding. I have a hope that something is going to take place. But does that mean that I don't do anything other than just that? No. The Lord will let you know. He may say, I want you to get together with your senior pastor and talk to him and see what ideas he has about how you and your wife can come together. Maybe he'll intervene. Maybe he has an idea. So you seek out those who know the Lord, who are seeking the Lord, who have the authority on this earth, who shepherd us, okay? It may be a mentor, maybe a good friend. It might be your senior pastor. It could be, you know, someone that's in ministry with you, whatever that looks like.
Yeah, and I love the example of Jesus in this. We all know that that Judas betrayed Jesus.
And Peter. The disciples, they ran away.
Yeah, right. Yep. So Jesus is very well acquainted with betrayal.
Yes.
You know, the ultimate betrayal that we generally think of is the betrayal of Judas.
Yes.
You know, and I was looking at this where Judas is betraying Jesus. And what does Jesus call him? He says, friend, go and do what you must do. So Jesus loved him even in the midst of being betrayed because he had, you know, He was able to see right through the outer person and see the inner person. He knew right from the beginning when Judas was walking with him that it would be him who would betray him, and yet he loved him through all of it. And these are hard words too. I'll tell you what, the Bible is full of hard things. right? But I'll tell you what.
But the end result is freedom and glory and just a joy that is inside you. It's not yours. It's the Lord.
Right.
You know?
And when we subject ourselves to God's word, when we say, okay, God, your word is true. My words are not true. You know, you are mm-hmm. truth. I want to seek your truth. And when we put God's word above our own worldly understanding, you're exactly right. There is freedom that comes. And this is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To go along with that, just so that they know it's not just in one location, in Matthew 6, verse 14. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. So, and you know, here's the deal. You know, I want to be forgiven because mm-hmm. I still blunder. Okay, I flounder.
Is that what you call sin now? Blundering and floundering.
Okay, whatever. Well, you stumble. But it leads to the sin or to where in situations that where it's going to be a separation between me and God. That's what sin does.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, if I need to forgive because I want to be forgiven when I mess up. Yeah. I want to know that I have. I remember one time. And I had a sciatica challenge in my back, in my leg, and stuff, and it literally put me using a cane in a sense, okay. And somebody had suggested that I get prayer for this,
which is scriptural.
Yes, and so I went to the group of people that prayed at the church, and I actually took the elevator to the second floor because I couldn't walk up the stairs, okay, comfortably enough. So I took the elevator up, went in, and went through the process. They sat me down, but they asked me one question. Is there any unforgiveness in your life that you're aware of? And I knew what they meant, whether it's someone I needed to forgive or accepting forgiveness from somebody else, okay? And I told them, I said, I believe there is none. And there wasn't, to my knowledge, at that time. They prayed for me, and I'm telling you, I walked out of there with no cane, and I walked down the stairs, and I've never had a problem since. Okay?
Yeah, praise God.
It is a praise God. My point being is that his word says to do these things. And if we trust in him enough, okay, if we have faith enough to believe that he will do these things, he will do them. There is nothing that is impossible for our God. We just have to make sure that our end of the thing is taken care of. You know, that we don't come in with wrong motives to try to manipulate God. That's not does not work. If you haven't tried that yet, go ahead and try it. It's not going to work. There's no one that's able to do that. But that's the love of the Father for us. Because he created us. He wove us in the womb of our mother. Every piece by piece, every little cell, he made sure that it was in the right place because he created you for a purpose, okay? And we are just being reminded, whether it's by someone saying it to us or all of a sudden just an awareness of God's presence in our lives. And if you're off track with him, the best way of being able to get on track is just submit yourself to him, ask for forgiveness, and then... Mm-hmm. Be willing to forgive others.
And be willing
others,
to forgive.
And then move forward.
And you said something that is really important, that nothing is impossible for God. We will go through our life thinking that things are impossible, that, you know, that this pain that I'm going through will never go away. It's impossible that this pain will ever go away. But nothing is impossible with God. And God is able to heal. God is able to take care of these things. And when we do, when we submit to him, when we bring these things to his cross and say, Lord, I can't handle this. This is too much for me. I need your help with this. And I need your help to forgive the person who has hurt me. You know, because forgiving, it doesn't always just come as easy as flipping a light switch.
Yep.
You know, there's, you know, there's that pain that's involved, and you know, we need, I hate to say it, we need, but we do, we need to be calling upon the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us in order to be able to forgive in the way that Jesus has forgiven us. You know, and that's why it said in Matthew that, you know, if you forgive others, then you will be forgiven, because it's so important. I mean, that comes right on the heel of the of Jesus teaching the disciples how to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven," you know, and it says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors."
Yep.
You know, Jesus, that's the only thing that Jesus expanded on. Okay. After the prayer, because that forgiveness is so important. It brings healing.
Yes. One of the things I just want to just mention before we have just a few seconds here left in the show, but I wanted to say this forgiveness does not just apply to those that we love. It applies to those that we don't love, our enemies.
That's right.
Matthew 5:43. "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing then to others? Do not even..." Anyway, "you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." So anyway, so, hey, good topic, man. Look at, see how we got onto other things?
That's all right.
Praise God. How about you pray for all our brothers who are listening, man?
Our Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would help us with any root of bitterness that has sprung up from the pain of betrayal, God. I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you shalom.